you guys see this? Justin Bieber just sold his entire music catalog for $200 million. Yeah, asked what he's going to do with the money. Bieber said, buy a dozen eggs.
Oh, look at that there. Look at that little hyperbole, and that's called humor there. How about that there from Jimmy Fallon there on TV? And welcome to Thursday on the Chris Plant Show. Mike Opelka in for my buddy Mr. Plant. I did see that story yesterday about Justin Bieber. I don't have any Justin Bieber music on my smartphone, which also doubles as a music library. Intentionally mispronounced, by the way. Justin Bieber's a pretty good singer, though, from what I've heard. I just don't need any Justin Bieber music. But he's 28 years old. He's a 28-year-old man, has had a career in music for just over a decade, and he sold his music catalog, the publishing rights, for $200 million. Ain't capitalism grand? Isn't it just the best? Yes, it is. It's the system that even Bono from U2 told everybody it's lifted more people out of poverty. Certainly more than socialism has lifted out. It's kind of the other way around with socialism and communism. It puts you in poverty. Which I just remind you, the World Economic Forum wants us all to know that their mission is for everybody to own nothing and be happier. Because that's what they told us at the World Economic Forum. You'll own nothing and be happier, and you'll get to listen to music like this from the World Economic Forum. Yeah, this was on stage. It's some kind of torture. Some kind of hypnotic Yoko Ono-like musical torture. Thank God we didn't have to go to the World Economic Forum in Davos. We didn't have to be indoctrinated that way. But anyway, got to get to this story that broke last night, 8 p.m. Eastern, the story of the latest bit of hidden video journalism from James O'Keefe and Project Veritas. They're the people who use a lot of hidden cameras to try and bring the truth to light. We saw them when they had CNN actually telling the truth about how Jeff Zucker ordered them to twist the narrative. As long as it's anti-Trump, you know, it was good. But yesterday, the tape was revealed of a guy named Jordan Tristan Walker. Tristan, kind of a weird name, but, you know, well, Opelka's a weird name, too. Jordan Tristan Walker, who is titled as the Pfizer Director of Research and Development, Strategic Operations, and the MRAN Scientific Planner. That's got to be one hell of a business card. Does anyone use business cards anymore? But he is with Pfizer, director. So he's a director. He's an executive inside Pfizer. And there were some really shocking bits of video that were released yesterday of this undercover reporter talking to this guy. And the guy seemed only too happy. If you've seen the video, you know what I'm talking about. It seems like he's either interested in the person asking the questions, you know, maybe personally, or he's interested because he thinks this is an interview. But we're told this is undercover journalism, that this is a conversation. But let's listen to Mr. Walker talk about mutating the virus.
Pfizer ultimately is thinking about mutating COVID?
Well, that is not what we say to the public. No. Don't tell anyone this morning. You gotta publish, don't tell anyone. You gotta publish, don't tell anyone. Okay? Yeah. We're exploring, like, now, you know how the virus keeps mutating?
Yeah.
Well, one of the things we're exploring is, like, why don't we just mutate it ourselves so we can ethically develop new vaccines, right? So we have to do that. If we're gonna do that, though, there's a risk of, like, as you could imagine, no one wants to be having a pharma company mutating fucking viruses.
So it's kind of hard to hear in some parts, but the gentleman who's purported to be an executive with Pfizer is saying You know, we're talking about maybe mutating the virus ourselves because it's going to mutate on its own. It's going to mutate on its own. Yeah, like it's been doing. So if you're going to take the virus and mutate it to get your own jump on all the other pharmaceutical companies and put out your own vaccine to combat a mutation, that seems a little evil, doesn't it? But it also sounds like gain of function research.
It sounds like gain of function to me.
I don't know. It's a little bit different. I think it's different. It's like this. It's definitely not gain of function.
It sounds like it is. I mean, it's okay.
No. No, directed evolution is very different. Yeah. Well, you're not supposed to do gain of function research of the viruses. Like,
yeah.
They recommend not. But you do like these like selected directional mutations to try to see if you can make more potent.
Yeah.
So there is research ongoing about that. I don't know how that's going to work. There might not be any more outbreaks. Just like Jesus Christ.
So they're worried about outbreaks if the mutated by maybe Pfizer or some company were to get out there and cause more outbreaks. But this is exactly what gain-of-function research is. You take a virus and you attempt to modify it genetically to make it something different. And if you're going to make it more deadly, then you are in effect weaponizing a virus. It's a real dangerous thing. And it's something that, based on all the emails that now will celebrate their third anniversary next Tuesday, the Fauci emails that went back and forth from his team of scientists around the world, the ones we were funding through the EcoHealth Alliance, who weren't going through the proper protocols and probably were masking some gain-of-function research, some real nefarious activity with some bad actors in places like China and undoubtedly Ukraine. And that story's gone cold, but we'll talk about that. But the fact that this company, to whom we have granted legal immunity over the vaccines that they distributed, may or may not have participated in gain-of-function research in order to create additional mutants, mutual variants, that they could then put out their own vaccine and get more money from us, it's a little disturbing, is it not? And where is the attention to this story? Where is the mainstream media asking questions? I want to see the unedited video to make sure there wasn't anything hinky about this. But it gets even weirder and more troubling when you hear this gentleman, Jordan Tristan Walker, describe how they tested the virus and mutated the virus. Cut three, please, Michael.
The way it would work is like we put them in the virus in these monkeys.
Okay.
And then we successively like cause them to keep infecting each other. And we collect serial samples from them, and then the ones that are more infectious, like the virus, we'll put them in another monkey and just constantly actively mutate it. That's one way.
Okay.
Or you can even do like directed like simulation, which like we should not prefer. And then you just sample what the different like proteins on the surface of the virus look like over time.
Okay.
So then you just see the mutation, and you kind of force it to mutate in a certain way you want.
Okay.
But you have to be like very controlled to make sure that this virus that you mutate doesn't create something that like, you know, goes everywhere.
Something
which
crazy.
Is the way that the virus started in Wuhan. To be honest, like it makes no sense if this virus popped out of nowhere. Like,
yeah, I know.
So this guy's speech is very slurred. They're seen drinking. Maybe they were having some adult beverages while this discussion was going on. This Project Veritas reporter and this purported Pfizer director of research and development and involved in strategic operations. So he would have, you would expect, knowledge of a testing program that he described on monkeys that they were using, and they were giving these monkeys these mutated viruses and attempting to get them to spread it among themselves. And the ones that were more contagious, then they would isolate to see if they could even, I guess, increase the volatility of that variant. Controlled test on monkeys. Is this what happened in Wuhan? We'll never know, will we? We'll ask, but we'll ask years later, but it's doubtful we'll ever know. Now, why was all this happening? Why was Pfizer allegedly involved in this? Well, it seems to have a profit motive if you put two and two together.
What's the goal for Pfizer of doing that?
So probably what they want to do is like to try to figure out, to some extent, try to figure out like, you know, there's all these new strains of variants that just pop up. Why don't we try to like catch them before they pop up in nature, and we can develop a vaccine prophylactic for like new variants.
Yeah.
So that's why they're thinking like if you do it controlled in the lab, then you say, oh, this is an epitope. And so then if it comes out later on, like in the public, we already have a vaccine kind of working on.
First of all, if this guy's the director of research and development, if he's an executive at Pfizer, I don't trust Pfizer because this guy can't speak. And it might have been the alcohol. But talking about the idea is to have a vaccine for new variants before they happen. Well, you would hope that would be an anticipation, but it sounds here like what's being described is that Pfizer was actually involved in creating a variant for which they would then have a vaccine. It's evil if it's true. And I hope it's illegal if it's true. But as far as being illegal, who's going to police these guys? Who's going to step up and say, this can't happen ever again? And we're rescinding your immunity. We learned today, as I mentioned earlier on the show, that England has stopped its vaccine mandate for people 50 and under. 50 and under. Nobody in England who's 50 years old or younger needs to get the vaccine anymore, which coincides with what I heard last night from the Cleveland Clinic and Dr. Mike Roizen, who said that the vaccines have been causing a higher than normal bad reaction, especially in males 30 to 50. So why aren't we diving into this with both feet and really urging investigation? Could it be that there is too close of a relationship with the pharmaceutical companies and the government? Could it be that the government officials are just too friendly with the big pharma because they know there's probably a job awaiting them at the end of their tenure? Listen.
Okay. Another revolving door for all government officials.
Wow.
Yeah, for any industry, though. So, like, in the pharma industry, all the government officials who, like, you know, review our drugs, especially yeah. Come work for pharma companies. Like, the military, like, all the, like, Army and Defense, like, government officials eventually go work for the defense companies afterwards.
Yeah. How do you feel about that revolving door? Like,
it's pretty good for the industry, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's bad for everyone else in America.
Why is it bad for everybody else?
Because if the regulators who have to approve our drugs know that once they stop being a regulator, they want to work for the company, then I'd be as hard for the company. They were getting their job.
Right.
So the government officials who are the ones responsible for greenlighting many of the financial bonuses to places like Pharma and Moderna and any company, they're the ones who will then get great high-paying jobs, you know, maybe no-show jobs like Hunter had at Burisma with the pharma companies. It's a little frightening, as the guy from who's alleged to be from Pfizer says, it's good for the industry, bad for everyone else in America. How is this being allowed, and where is the outrage? Now, I want to see the unedited video to understand the full story. There's a big story here. And like many in the media like to say, if true, there need to be consequences. There needs to be serious legal consequences. It's Mike Opelka in for Chris Plant on The Chris Plant Show.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s. The breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
It is the Chris Plant Show. My name is Mike Opelka. I'm here till Chris gets back, which will be Monday. He's actually going to be in the country. I have it on good authority he'll be in the country late Friday. And I'm sure he's got to readjust his body clock and all that stuff. And I guess you have to get used to the water in the toilet going the other way around. Just saying. Is that happening? I'm just making that up because I've never been to where he was. Anyway, we're just talking about the Project Veritas video released last night at 8 p.m., which purports to show a Pfizer executive talking about manipulating the virus, the COVID, I like to call it the COVID-1984 virus, but the COVID-19 virus, and then creating a vaccine to match it, kind of like creating your own market, you know, and they've made bazillions off of us on this. And so the phone's again on fire. Let's talk about it. Mike on line five in Virginia. Mike, welcome to the Chris Plant Show.
Hi. You know, one thing Pfizer, I'm not a patent attorney, okay? I'll say that up front. Pfizer mutates the virus. They get it to mutate, you know, make it more virulent, which means it spreads faster and it makes you sicker, if not kills you. And then they patent it, and that will prevent other companies from developing vaccines for it because you have to have the virus in order to develop a vaccine. You know, Pfizer.
It's even more evil than I was thinking.
Well, it's possible. I mean, you know, this is like to the extreme. But, you know, Pfizer, as well as Moderna and all the other companies that made vaccines in the United States, the, you know, the U.S. government has paid for all those vaccines, which means we've paid for all those vaccines.
Yep.
And Pfizer sees us, the taxpayer, well, the U.S. government sees us the same way, as an endless supply of money.
Absolutely.
And this is just, you know, one way to make more money.
Well, we need to make sure this is investigated. And I appreciate your perspective on that, Mike. Thank you. I'm going to try and get to Tom in Northeast Ohio. Tom, you're a respiratory therapist.
You today.
Hello, Tom.
Hi there. How you doing today?
Good, sir. You're a respiratory therapist. I got a little time here. Tell me what's going on.
It's kind of complicated, but I'll try and shorten it up. Back in the spring and summer of 2019, in the hospital setting, we were seeing people with what you would call symptoms of COVID-19, although COVID-19 wasn't a thing, as far as I'm aware, until I think it was January of 2020. Physicians were testing for flu A, flu B. They were coming back negative, but these people were very, very sick. And so it's my contention that COVID-19 was around a lot earlier than previously stated. The other thing...
I have to cut you off, Tom, because I'm really up against the wall here. I will tell you, there is a credible study that shows COVID developed in the fall of 2019 in China when these military games were held in Wuhan, oddly enough. And then shortly after that, the outbreak happened here in Seattle, just outside of Seattle. But I'm up against the wall. It's Mike Opelka for Chris Plant on The Chris Plant Show.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
It is the Chris Plant Show. Mike Opelka in for Chris on this Thursday. Just catching up on a couple stories that are out there that are bubbling. Yesterday, it was broken on Neil Cavuto, it was after the 5. Fox had the breaking news that it was Brett, what's his name? I lost it, brain fart right here. I had a Biden brain fart. That Facebook and Instagram were lifting the ban on Donald Trump. So Facebook and Instagram, 2 years after they put Donald Trump in the corner, have said, oh, you can come back now. You still have to follow the rules. But who's interpreting them? So will Donald Trump make a full return to Facebook and Instagram? If he's going to run seriously in 2024, I think he has to. Truth Social just isn't big enough. So it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And from what we've heard, there will be a 6-hour exclusive to anything Donald Trump posts on Truth Social, and then it will appear on Facebook and Instagram. 6 hours, kind of interesting. And then yesterday, we also got word that there was a conviction. A woman pled guilty in mailing poison to Donald Trump. I don't think I remember this story. A woman who is a citizen of both France and Canada pled guilty to 9 biological weapon-related counts. She sent ricin-laced threatening letters to the White House and to then-President Donald Trump and another 8 letters to Texas law enforcement officials. The 55-year-old woman apparently was caught with a loaded gun, hundreds of rounds of ammunition, and she thought law enforcement officials, this according to reporting on the Daily Caller, were linked to her 10-week spring detention in Texas and had stated to someone on Twitter she needed someone to please shoot Donald Trump in the face. So she's going to prison. Good. 21 years and 10 months for attempting to poison the president of the United States. Good. Good. Send her away for longer than that. I wonder if we'll send her back to France. I hope not. Now, speaking of presidents, this president, Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., and his son appear to be getting closer and closer to having to answer some serious questions, not just about the documents, but about what Hunter did with the documents that may have been in the possession of Joe Biden in 2018, 2017, 2016, all when Joe was in the White House. So the reality here is that Joe Biden, when he was president, had access to classified information, some of it from his Senate career, and we need to know what the heck was going on. Now, if Hunter had access to those documents, it's a big problem because now there are reports that some of the writing in the documents and in the emails on Hunter Biden's laptop sound more like the writings you would find in a classified intelligence report. So was Hunter Biden getting information out of classified intel reports that were in his dad's possession, and then using them to develop business for himself, and ultimately 10% for the big guy? We need to find out about this. The Hunter Biden email written before he joined the Burisma board. Town Hall reports on this. This is an excellent story. Town Hall has the story in today's edition. And I think Tucker talked about it last night. But this email went out in 2014. Hunter Biden sent an email to Devin Archer, his business partner at Burisma. And it was a week before Joe flew to Ukraine to meet with the prime minister. And Hunter had this detailed memo with almost 24 data points about the important, critical, political, strategic situation in Ukraine. Nothing like some of the emails you normally read on Hunter Biden's laptop. Miranda Devine, the lady who wrote the absolutely must-read book, Laptop from Hell, pointed this out, saying it bears no resemblance to anything else we have that Hunter Biden has ever written, sounding more like something from the State Department. How come no one's trying to connect these dots? I'm sure they are. The Town Hall article quotes the Hunter Biden document saying, quote, the strategic values to create a land bridge for RU to Crimea, meaning, I guess, the Republic of Ukraine. He writes at one point, notice how he uses that diplomatic abbreviation for Russia. For Russia, not the Republic of Ukraine, but Russia is the diplomatic abbreviation. Would he know that? I don't know. Hunter also added that this will further destabilize the UK nationally and for whatever government is in power, and the US will respond with even stronger sanctions. These sanctions will threaten the tenuous support of the EU, which does not have the political will to incur steep energy price increases. Yeah, this doesn't sound like any of the stuff we've seen in the Hunter emails. So did Hunter have access to the classified information and then suddenly, after sending out memos, got a job? Was he suddenly then elevated and got the Burisma gig? And what did Joe know about it? Because remember, Hunter traveled with his dad on Air Force Two on several occasions. So how is this not being investigated? We do know that the Oversight Committee has asked to know who bought Hunter's paintings. Who spent over $100,000 on these paintings, this artwork? A guy who just suddenly trundled onto the art scene and was elevated to the highest levels of the art world. The Oversight and Accountability Committee has opened a probe yesterday into the Biden family. We should include the word crime there, the Biden crime family. James Comer, who I think is a pit bull, and he's going for it. James Comer of Kentucky, of course, is going after the owner of a gallery and asking him to give information related to the anonymous art purchases of Hunter's art and all communications between the gallery and the White House. Because why are these purchases allowed to be kept secret? I know people are saying, well, it's a private purchase between a gallery and an artist, not when the guy is the son of the president and he has been making money, printing money, admittedly trading on his father's name in the interview with ABC. So go for it. Let's hope we get some cooperation out of the gallery. I doubt that they will because they obviously have a connection to the Biden family. Now, speaking of the Biden family, there is a crazy cousin, as it's called. The Washington Free Beacon has this great story. And the headline reads, "Our family's sick." And that's a quote. Why Hunter Biden lied about paying $50,000 a month in rent. And it turns out Hunter apparently was not paying $50,000 a month to his father to rent the family home in North Wilmington. But that was the money. That was the exact amount, $49,910, was a rental payment for Washington, D.C. office space used by Hunter But Joe had been requested to be given a key, and Jill and Jim Biden and God knows who else. The Free Beacon traced the document to an attachment of a July email from Hunter Biden to an apartment complex in L.A., but not just an apartment complex, a luxury apartment complex. And this was all about trying to secure a property, a rental apartment for his cousin, who was down on her luck, as described by the Free Beacon. Down on her luck. Why was she down on her luck? Well, in 2017, she pled guilty to buying more than $100,000 worth of makeup using a stolen credit card. $100,000 is, that's a lot of money. Grand larceny, in fact. Did she go to prison? No. No. Should have gone to prison, but there was no prison sentence. She was sentenced to 2 years of probation. But she didn't want to spend it on the East Coast, where all the family is. She wanted to spend it in Los Angeles, you know, because it's nicer there and they're friendlier to progressives and Democrats and people whose last name is Biden. So Carolyn Biden needed to get an apartment. And she waited until the very last minute to announce to her very helpful cousin Hunter and very well-heeled cousin Hunter that she had to get this done today because she was in her probation officer's office, and they needed an address for her in California in order to approve the fact that she could move her probation out west. So she needed to secure an apartment instantly. So Hunter was helping. Hunter was trying to be the helper. You know, Mr. Rogers told us to look for the helpers. So they now have private text messages between Caroline Biden and Hunter Biden, and they refer to each other with, you know, cutesy terms like, you're my partner in crime. And she was trying to move to California to be closer to him, you know, cousins. And they talk about how messed up the family is. Now, that deal apparently never happened. They couldn't get it done in time. And the young cousin was also arrested for DUI and served no time for that either. That was in Pennsylvania, I believed. She also has some curious ideas of how valuable her skill sets are. She's never really had a job, according to the story. Never really had a job, instead trading on the reputation of the family. And now she was being asked to take a job in California, because when you're on parole or probation, you kind of need to have a job and an address, etc. So a California company, Massimo, oddly enough, one of Joe Biden's largest donors, offered her a gig, $85,000 a year, a guaranteed 10% bonus, stock options, but she didn't want to take it because it wasn't enough. Reportedly, she told her father in an email, that's below minimum wage in California after taxes. I'm sorry, $85,000 plus a guaranteed 10% bonus, so you're already over $90,000. That's less than minimum wage in California after taxes. She's quoted in the email saying, I cannot take this job. I've never made this little money in my life. I can't take anything less than $180,000. Didn't get the job. And I bet the company is breathing a sigh of relief right now, too. But, you know, they were just trying to help out their buddy, Joe, who they've given a lot of money to. The story is amazing. This Biden family is so entitled and so in on the grift on such a broad level. I don't see how you don't call this crime family. I don't see how we don't go fully after every single member. Not just Hunter, not just Joe, not just Jim. But now you have to understand that there's probably more here. And this is just what we're finding. There's so many things that have to go through on the laptop story. Young lady was arrested and pled guilty to stealing $100,000 grand theft, and then got caught DUI and has not spent literally a day behind bars because of her last name. Two sets of rules. Two complete sets of rules. And wouldn't take a job that paid her almost $100,000 in California, because that's below minimum wage in California after taxes. Will it be investigated? I don't know. You'll hear from Corinne Jean-Pierre after the break. It's Mike Opelka in for Chris Plant on The Chris Plant Show.
This is The Chris Plant Show.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Welcome back to the Chris Plant Show. Mike Opelka here wrapping up the day. There was breaking news this hour as Adam Schiff has announced something that surprise nobody, he's running for Senate in California. Since he's going to be insignificant in the House, he might as well try and be insignificant in the Senate. So good for you. Good luck with that. We hope you lose miserably because you're a proctological nuisance. We were talking about Hunter Biden, and yesterday Cringe was asked if the White House is concerned about all the investigations into his art selling scheme.
The House Oversight Committee is looking into Hunter Biden's art sales, or the sales of his own art. Is the White House concerned about that? Does it have any response to it?
I will refer you to Hunter Biden's representatives on this.
So same old answer. Now, what does she do? She's the referrer. She's not even going to ask about it and circle back. We don't even get a circle back out of this bobo. And the debt ceiling negotiations are, well, there's no negotiations, are there? Rand Paul, would you like to weigh in on that? Would you like to tell us about the negotiations?
President Biden says he won't negotiate over raising the debt ceiling. I have news for him. He absolutely will negotiate. Conservatives will not vote to raise the debt ceiling. The majority in the House, Republican majority in the House, will not vote to raise the debt ceiling without significant budget reform. The greatest threat to our country is, and the greatest threat to our national security is, the debt.
I agree. It's a fantastic approach to this, but Joe Biden has said there will be no negotiation. And we're old enough to remember when he was on the other side of that argument.
I have had the great honor of spending hours and hours and hours, and you've covered my negotiating the debt limit and other things with the leaders of the Republican Party. A lot of those new members who came here with my way or the highway, they'll either be on the highway or they'll learn that they have to have compromise.
So compromise, what an interesting thought. Joey's all in on compromise. Well, he was until he became the president. Now he said there will be no negotiation. I tend to think that Rand Paul has the right approach here. And I also think that Biden's going to have a little dose of reality on this, because all of the scandals bubbling are going to force him into a spot where he has to negotiate. Today, the president is scheduled to speak, but just before 3 o'clock, about the economy. and I'm betting he's going to make a reference to the debt ceiling and how all of the good work that his administration has done to bring us back from the brink is going to be at risk if we don't raise the debt ceiling, if we don't start spending more. No thanks. No thank you, sir. I think that's a giant mistake. And one more bit of breaking news that I just saw, because thankfully Michael Piercy sent it to me. Do you know anybody who buys those little bottles like the ones you get on the airplanes and the trains? They call them businessmen's bottles. The Fireball Cinnamon. Apparently, the mini bottles don't have any whiskey in them. It's some kind of Fugazi Fireball. Oh, there's going to be an interesting lawsuit on this one. We'll do it again tomorrow, and then Chris will be back on Monday. Till next time, testudo, my friends. Testudo.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.